What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Revenge Body After Show. Today we have one of the most successful fitness trainers in the entire world who has trained Hollywood's elite. So please stay tuned right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Cut me down,
but I got up. Hey,
this
Katie
is your
Perry.
Jam. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Revenge Body After Show. We are so excited to be here, as always, one of our favorite shows. And we have one of the most amazing trainers here from tonight's episode.
Woo!
We have Ashley Borden. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Such a nice intro.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
That was nice.
Sure, record this intro.
You can play it back on YouTube whenever it
lives
there.
Exactly.
So where can everyone find you on social media?
They can find me on Instagram on Ashley Borden Fitness. And if you want to chit-chat a little, we could be on Twitter at Ashley Borden.
All right,
so you can find me there on my website, ashleyborden.com.
Awesome. Cool. And we are joined by our other lovely panelists.
Hello, guys. My name is Shanti. You can find me on Instagram at Shanti_Christina.
Hey, y'all. It's Rachel Robillard, and y'all can find me on all social media at Rach_Robillard.
And you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. So let's get started. So what I really want to know, I want to take it back to the very beginning. When did you discover your love for fitness?
Oh, well, I mean, I've been around fitness my entire life. I think it used to be a love-hate relationship with fitness and food and all that. Mm-hmm. I was a dancer starting at a very young age until I was about 16 years old. And I grew up in a family that was very athletic. And my mom owned a health food store. And my dad owned sporting goods stores, which sounds like it could be cool. But living, you know, growing up in a health food store was pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to eat carob and sprouts as a young girl. And
right.
So I was like obsessed with, you know, why can't I have sugar? And the thing was, it wasn't really explained to me as a child, like, why we couldn't have it. Mm. So, of course, I wanted it even more. But as I got older and I started having probably like more of a severe eating disorder as I got into high school and all that, I ended up hitting bottom at 18. I went into treatment.
Mm. Wow.
And I got my recovery is through OA.org, which is Overeaters Anonymous, the 12-step program.
Okay.
And coming out from that and just kind of fast forwarding, that's what really got me into being like, I need to work with people, to have them have a better relationship with food, that you can train, you can eat, you don't have to be a psycho, it doesn't have to be the struggle that I felt my entire first 18 years of my life. I mean, I hit bottom pretty young at 18, so that was like my life's mission, was to kind of give back and give to people what I always wanted when I was younger, because there was like so much information out there.
Right.
That there's so, and even worse now that there's social media,
mm-hmm.
it's like you don't know how to decipher what are you supposed to do. And I was so overwhelmed and inundated as a kid that's what I really wanted to do as an adult, which was be able to help people streamline what they wanted to do and give them information that was not faddish, but it was based on science where they were going to have real results and not feel like a lunatic doing it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Man, that was my next question was like, were you always in shape or did you have like a major transformation? So it sounds like after you got out of treatment, that's when you really started.
Yeah. I mean, I was never overweight. I mean, my eating disorder, I was a compulsive overeater. I was bulimic. I was anorexic. I mean, it always kind of flip flopped with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was more the mental. I think that's why with Revenge Body, I get these people immediately, because when you've been there and you've done that, you know, you can call, you see it, you smell it, you can hear it, you can see it when you're talking to somebody. So it's been an advantage for me having that recovery with my eating disorder in order to be able to help these people on a much deeper level, which I feel like they need. It's more than just you losing weight in the gym for 40 pounds. Because
right,
if you're not,
right.
you know, you're not getting your head together, the minute the show's over, it's coming back.
Exactly. Mind, body, and soul. And that's what Chloe really emphasizes throughout the season and last season as well. And so, yeah, tell us about Jen and how it was working with her and getting her in the right mindset.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I met Jen, when she walked in the first time, I mean, I can smell a victim from 8,000 miles away. And as a former, you know, I don't even know if I ever really identify with myself as a victim, but I definitely, when I was younger, didn't want to ever feel like one. And I mean, I think we all have our issues with that. But with Jennifer, I could immediately feel there was just this what was going on? She just always felt like she was walking into the gym like it was like a death sentence for her. And it wasn't like it was just like she was just afraid.
Yeah.
And there was so, there was a lot of, when somebody has like their stories that they tell themselves all the time, she had so much mental stories that she had built up for herself in order to have this denial. And, you know, you don't get to be 210 pounds just from...
overnight.
Yeah, right? And also, you know, things are great, you know. Mm-hmm. Jen actually did share with me something that I'm, you know, that, that we've talked about before that was an incredible example of the power of denial. When she was at her heaviest, she told me at one point that she was going to start telling people that she was pregnant. And that when she lost the weight, that she would then tell people that she lost the baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yes.
Is that just, like, a cry for attention, or...?
No, no. I think that is called, you are so effed up. Or, no, I mean, mentally, you have given yourself all of these excuses that it's gotten that bad.
Wow.
Right? I mean, this is what she was sharing with me. And so it was like, you could see in the episode how her eyes became more clear. Mm-hmm. And when she was talking about how she made eye contact with the stylist. Because when I used to talk to her, I was like, Jennifer, you're not looking at me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to make more eye contact with me. You're looking. She would do this thing where she would like look down and play this little girl. And I said, look, I just want to be honest with you. You know what's not hot? A baby 32-year-old woman.
Oh.
You That's know, true. Being a little yeah. baby is not cute. And I know I sound like a vicious bitch, but,
no,
you know,
you don't.
I mean.
You're just blunt and honest.
I am.
I respect that.
I just don't have any bullshit in me anymore. And if, you know, you're on the show, we have 12 weeks, and I think we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
I'm not on the show to be your best friend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that is not what I'm here for, is to enable and to also co-sign your bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody else around you has been doing your entire life. So, you know, that is not... And this is... My approach with people is what was done to me.
Right.
When I was in treatment... Mm-hmm. Now, this is a good vision. So I am in treatment. I'm 18 years old. I'm in a treatment center for, I think, 2 months. Hmm. And I'm sitting in there in my sweatpants, and I'm a crazy person at this point. And I decided that I needed to talk to my counselor. So I go to her office, and I knock on the door, and she's there. And I said, I need to talk to you. And she said, oh, okay. So I go in and I sit down. I'm 18. I'm in a treatment center for an eating disorder, right? I sit down with her. I look at her and I said, I just want to let you know that I cannot get any recovery in this treatment center because I think you're jealous of me.
What?
And she looked at me.
Her jaw probably just dropped.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, she looked at me and she said, Ashley, honey, there isn't one thing about you that I'm jealous of.
Oh, my God.
And I was mortified. But that moment in my life slapped me. I mean, like, maybe she was a little bit more vicious when she told me that, but I needed to hear it. Because I honestly was that delusional at that point that I was like, oh my God, you guys, I can't get any recovery here because you guys are all jealous of me, so I need to go and leave treatment.
Oh,
like,
my
that's
God.
How yeah. much I... So that's what I'm saying, like, with Jennifer or the bullshit that we tell ourselves. It's like, I needed somebody to call me out on it. I remember in treatment realizing that was the first time that people didn't like me. I was like, what? There's people in the world that don't like me? Like, what? That's not what my mother told me. She said everybody's jealous of me. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is what she used to tell me all the time as a young child. Not a good bit of advice to give your kids. But so that's why I think on the show and with Jennifer and all that, it's like the psychological stuff is what I feel and I hear and I smell immediately. And that's what we have to approach right away.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the scene that we had on the thing where Jennifer was lying about her cardio...
Yeah.
And we were saying before, I mean, that was like, I think they really watered it down because maybe they didn't want it to be as horrible as it was in the scene. But, you know, I lost my shit with her.
Yeah. Can you explain more of that? What really happened behind the scenes that we did not see?
I can't believe they didn't show it all.
Yeah.
Oh, we only have so much time. But Jen, it was the same thing. She was, you know, walking in with that looking down kind of thing. She got on the scale. And again, it didn't make any sense to me. Now, the backstory at that point was, I had with my dietitian. So Kristen Bell is the dietitian that has been incredible with me. She worked with both of my contestants. She also is the co-author of my food plan, the SOS food plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen I had called her. I said, "You need to change all her food. She's not losing weight." So she spent hours changing her food. I had Brian Redfern, who was doing all her programming with me. We went and changed her programming again. I called production. I said, "She needs to see a doctor."
Right? Because she was only losing like it was 5 pounds.
No. At that point, I think she had lost like nothing that week or something.
Okay.
And I said she must have something hormonally wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the, you know, because at this point I'm assuming that she's telling
doing
the truth of everything. Yeah.
Doing everything
so, you know, I'm and also because I'm obsessed with my clients, I'm like, you know, I hadn't slept for 2 days because I'm like trying to change all this stuff around. And so when she comes in and gets on the scale, and then when I ask her and I'm looking at her and I'm like, yeah, so you were doing an hour cardio or not? And then she was like, you know, I'm doing a half hour. And that's when I was like, so you're doing 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're not doing a half hour. And then I just, I mean, that's when I lost my shit again, which seems to be an ongoing thing. But I said to her, you know what, Jennifer, you should quit the show. I said, you need to go home and look, this is exactly what I said. So you need to go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself, what the fuck are you doing? Mm-hmm. I said, you have an opportunity of a lifetime to be on this show, and you are wasting my time, you're wasting production's time, you're wasting Kristen's time and Brian's time, because you're lying. And I said, and this is why you're obese.
Yeah.
Because you're a liar and you cannot be honest with yourself and you cannot be honest with me. And I've had it. And then she started crying. And then I said, what are you crying about? I should be crying at this point. Yeah. I should be crying. And, you know, I didn't have any. The other thing is, don't cry. Like, crying is a very manipulative reaction to do when you know you're caught. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you're crying because if somebody passed away or you're upset about something, but it's another thing if you're crying because I'm like, you know, I just called you out on this now, you know, and you're upset, whatever. So, you know, but after that, it totally changed. She stepped up. She realized that what she was doing. And, you know, a big part of it too is I think with Jen, she was keeping people around her that were enabling her, her story. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have a story that we like to tell ourselves all the time.
Right.
And she was having too much story and too many people enabling her story. So after that, you know, she really stepped up and she changed. And she realized, like, this is all coming from a loving place. As mean as it sounds, it's not coming from a place of anger or a place of hate.
No.
You know, it's coming from a place of that's what she needs. So, and that changed it for her. And Jennifer was a different person after that day.
Mm-hmm. Was it just her, was it just the exercise that she was sloughing on, or was it also her diet? Do you know?
I mean, well, no, actually, to be honest, Jennifer did not veer off her diet except for once. One time she had like 2 cookies, I think. And I have to say, Jennifer was Jennifer was on it. But also with the way we handled it, was Jennifer and Joel, but Jennifer in this episode, every single meal and snack she texted and sent to me and Kristen. Every single meal for 12 weeks.
Wow.
Every day for every single meal.
So to you and Kristen.
To me and Kristen. We were on a dual text and I still have them. But the reason is because she needed to be accountable. When I was in the beginning of my recovery, this was before the internet. I had to call in my food with my sponsor every single meal.
Wow.
And it set up a response. It helped me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I use a lot of that kind of same structure that helped me to help her. And that was a big thing. I was like, you know, I want you to be aware. We are setting up such a support system for you. And also they didn't even do it in the show. We went to OA meetings. So I took her to OA meetings. And she was still going to OA meetings, which is overeatersanonymous.org. Because my concern was that she needed to have a mental support system with this process. It is not just me locking you in a closet, starving you, and you lose 40 pounds.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you're not taking care of what got you in there in the first place, that could be a serious problem when the show's over. Because you don't have the expectation, you don't have the pressure.
Right.
You know, you don't have me every single day.
And
you
the
don't
cameras.
Have,
yeah,
and exactly. the cameras and Kristen and... you know, our dietitian, so you just don't have the same support. I still talk to Jen all the time, and we are still there for her and my other person, Joel, as well.
Is she still telling you what she's eating?
She's so after the show ended, she kind of took her will back a little bit, and I think got a little cocky, because I think this is what happens, like you have a new body, and then you go to Vegas, and then you're like, and so she got a little cocky. And she was on no alcohol also, and people don't realize how quickly, you know what happens when you drink alcohol?
What?
You don't want to eat chicken and broccoli and brown rice and drink water.
Yeah.
You want to go to In-N-Out, have a double-double, maybe have a shake, and then go right to bed.
I relate to that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that was last night for me. But, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with having days like that, but it's like the whole concept is like, you have to be honest with yourself and where are you in this situation, and if you're still trying to get off of junk food and you're still trying to wean yourself off of refined sugar and white flour, there is a physiological reason why it is so addictive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, it's not just like people are just like, don't eat it. I mean, it is incredibly addictive. Mm-hmm. So that's why we kind of take all those things off it, away from, I remove them at first. And then also deal with the psychological stuff that goes with it. Because if you take away all of somebody's security blankets, you know, other blankets pop up.
Definitely. Yeah.
It was like, kind of, you're like, that's the longest answer you've ever given in your life. Yeah.
No, that was very thorough. We loved it.
Yeah.
So obviously she ended up walking away from Mark, which I was so happy about that. She ended up finally walking away from him.
Yes, saying goodbye. Good.
What was your reaction when she kept telling you about him? Were you just like, this is so clear to me, just drop him?
I mean, were you picturing some, like, gorgeous man? Like, were you...
It was more, I mean, you know, there was more to that relationship dynamic that I think Jen can speak to that was really also fucked up, that was unhealthy. And so I just kept on being, I just was, again, the voice of reality. Like, you know, you guys are not friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any, I said, let me ask you this. If I was your friend and I fucked you over, right? And I'm realizing I'm swearing a lot and I'm very sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. But if I was your friend and I screwed you over like that, would we stay friends? Would you want to hang out with me afterwards and still be friends?
No.
You'd be like, bye.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you anymore. Mm-hmm. But because you guys had a sexual relationship, for whatever reason, you have a different, you know, it's a different type of tie that you need to break, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just kept on kind of reflecting that back to her, like, you know, this is not, again, this is not your friend, I just mm-hmm. want to tell you. I mean, a friend is somebody who actually cares about you. This guy is a manipulator, and he cheated on you. So, I mean, like, what... Yeah. You know, I mean, you want to stay friends with somebody that cheated on you, had no respect for you?
Right.
He had, like, a girl on each coast, I guess, is what she was saying, which mm-hmm. is just crazy.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I mean, like, I don't want to be judgmental about Mark, because I don't know him, but, mm-hmm. I mean, like, he did not seem, even just putting past the way he looked, just the story about him, it's like, Jennifer, this is not a good partner for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is... And when we're screwed up, look at what we attract when we are in our darkest
place. That's so
place.
True.
Look at what she attracted in her darkest place. Mm-hmm. Not trying to be mean about Mark, but this guy was not somebody that was right for her.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, when you have a different type of energy, you will attract the right type of person for you. But that's what we attract what we are when we are where we are.
Yeah. Also, going off of what with Jen, I love how you took her to jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really, really cool because I don't think I've seen any trainer do that yet on the show. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a cool other way to work out that we have not seen on the show. So what is your relationship like with jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu? Well, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for about 7 years, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just something about being able, as a female especially, being able to understand how to protect yourself if somebody was on top of you. You know, what do you do? Oof. Like, what do you do? I mean, it's a whole other AfterBuzz show, but, you know, I mean, it's like you know, it's like you could take a self-defense class and you know, learn how to kick somebody. Mm-hmm. What's great when somebody tackles you, then how, you know, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But so jiu-jitsu for me, I'm obsessed with mixed martial arts, and I have been my whole life. And I've trained fighters before as well. But, like, I really wanted to start learning jiu-jitsu because I thought it was a beautiful sport. And it is such an empowering sport. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it has been. And I see with women. I mean, it's like... You just have a different type of confidence when you know that you can choke somebody, or when you know you can break someone's shoulder, or when you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah. Not in a jerk kind of way, but just in
a powerful way.
Yeah, just in a confident kind of way, you know? Yeah. And I wanted Jen to experience that because she was, I think Mark was into mixed martial arts also, and she was very attracted to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept on saying, you know what? What you're attracted to is probably what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times what we find really hot in somebody else, it's like, well, then let's have that be for you. You know, why can't you be a fighter? Why can't you be a hot fighter then? You know what I mean?
Point.
So we went to other classes too, which we didn't have on camera. We did no gi with Duda Gerha, who is my jiu-jitsu instructor, and also happens to be my boyfriend.
Yes,
but he's an excellent teacher, and that was the thing, was that I wanted her to be able to work with somebody also that she wasn't going to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And she really, like I said, she really liked it a little too much because she liked choking me. I was like, okay, all right, get off me. No, I'm just kidding. She enjoyed it. She learned doing the choking drills a lot. But I just wanted to expose her to different different things for her, you know, and see if that was something that she wanted to continue doing on her own afterwards, you know.
I love that, yeah. And I want to talk about some of the people that you've trained as well, because you've trained some of the biggest people in Hollywood, such as Ryan Gosling, Reese Witherspoon, Christina Aguilera, Chelsea Handler. When did you go from, like, training, I guess, I don't want to say civilians, to Hollywood's elite?
Celebrities. Well, I mean, I've been in Los Angeles for a long time, and I always tell everybody, like, you know, if I lived in Delaware, I probably wouldn't be working with this demographic. Right. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's just because where we live, you know. But, I mean, it's also how you are with that demographic, I think. I am not secretly wanting to be a celebrity and taking my client's place. You know, I love what I do, and I love helping and doing that, which I think helps with the longevity in the business, working with celebrity, because, again, they can smell that when you're,
right,
you know,
sure,
a creepy, desperate person that really wants to just take their place. Mm-hmm. But it's just all word of mouth, you know. I mean, I was at a gym. I think the very first name of anybody I ever trained, I trained her once, was Rosie Perez, and this was like a million years ago. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. But I've never everybody to me is a human.
Yeah.
And I am not the only person I ever met that I was starstruck was Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer.
Oh my god,
that I was starstruck. I worked with Cesar Millan. Yeah, I mean, I'm obsessed with animals, so Cesar, I was starstruck, and I felt like a nerd and I couldn't talk. But other than that, I don't really get starstruck by anybody, because I respect what they do, you know. Yeah, I do what I do, they do what they do, it's all good.
You're human, right?
I didn't answer your question.
No, it's all good. So for you, though, a lot of people have, like, studios. You are private one-on-one, so you go to them, correct?
No, I train out of a private training facility. I mean, out of a gym, but I also go one-on-one with people as well, and they have people come to me. And I have some clients that I travel with them, and I'll go and be with them for a month, or, you know, I used to create retreats, so I was doing that as well.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I mean, so, I'm sorry, going back to your question, though, about the celebrity. I mean, I think it's just a part of it, again, is being a female, being in the business, where I also understand how it works. I like being a team player. You know, if you're working with that demographic, you need to be a team player, because they have a big team around them. You know, you can't be a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's just been word of mouth and just other people referring me to other people. I mean, with Christina Aguilera, when I trained her, I started training her because a guy that I worked with at my gym, who was a really nice guy, was training Irving Azoff, I think. He was training, which is Christina's manager. He had just said, you know, Christina was looking for a trainer. Do you want to go in and interview? And I was like, sure. So I went in and interviewed, and that's how I got the job.
And
so
you ended up touring with her, right?
Yeah. I toured with her during her Strip Justified tour, and she was on tour with Justin Timberlake also at the time. And
now, when you say interview, do you mean you trained her and she saw she liked it or not? Or are you literally saying...
I sat down in an interview with Irving Azoff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's crazy.
And then he was the one who... I don't know how it worked, but that's... Then they said, you're hired. I was like, okay.
Nice.
And I mean, I told you this earlier, but the era that you were training her, she was in the best shape of her entire life. Mm-hmm. So that goes to show. I mean, because this was like the Strip. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was like the image of like beauty and like...
She was fit.
Yeah.
She was in shape.
Yeah.
She was fit. Definitely.
And I think, I mean, I actually, to be honest, I haven't seen her in a while. I don't know if she's fit right now, but yeah, she was very fit during that time. I mean, we worked a lot, you know, I worked a lot with her. She trained really hard. You know, and we were saying before, I mean, just being at that level of celebrity and especially, I think, as an entertainer and touring and doing all that, it's like...
So hard.
Oh, my God. I mean, I really had a different found respect for entertainers and, like, the amount of just the constant people wanting constantly from you, you know, constantly. Imagine, like, when you're just... You know, when you're like, can you give me a minute? When, like, you have three people asking you something, it's like, but it's not even just that. It's just the pressure. It's everything. I had a newfound respect for her after seeing her go through all that. And you know, and she started the business very young. So, you know, I mean, it's a lot of pressure. And I was very impressed and inspired by when I was training her and working with her. And you were asking me before, were you guys friends or was she nice or something?
Yeah.
But, you know, and I say this with everyone. I mean, like, my job working with her, for instance, is not for us to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, I don't, I mean, she's respectful. Like I said, respect is the most important. I don't need you to be, we're not friends. We're not hanging out being BFFs, you know? I mean, we're friendly, but, you know, my job working with anybody is to help you and to help you achieve your goal, not to be your best friend. Yeah. I mean, to be friendly, and we can be friendly and friends, but you know what I mean? Your best friend is your best friend. Yeah, your trainer is different.
Your trainer is your trainer.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
If for some instance, like, a friendship happened, then it does, but that's not the main goal going into it.
Exactly.
Or would you ever be like a friend?
Yeah, but let me just clarify something. Okay. I mean, a true friendship, money is not exchanged in a true friendship. So it gets a little weird if we're just friends hanging out, but you're paying me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a little, it's a different situation. So again, I mean, I'm not saying that you're not friendly, but in my mind and the way that I operate, I feel like it's, you know, it's my work.
It's
a working relationship.
I mean, speaking of that, I know that the last episode that we saw you on the show was with Joel, and a lot of people had
Joel.
To say about him. Do you think...
Joel.
I mean, I feel like you guys are pretty friendly still on social media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, I
feel like Joel's like my son.
Do you still train him?
I do. Joel is still coming, and I'll work with him once in a while. And I give him his training protocol of what he's doing, and he's actually doing our program as well. But and I am still on his ass, you know? Like, I stalk all of their social media still. I mean, they're probably like, Ashley, the show's over. You know what I mean? Like I'm like the stalker that they're like, they're like calling Chloe and asking her to please Ashley get off me because the show's been over for 2 years. Yeah. No, but with Joel, I still am. I feel like he's still, you know, it's hard. You know, these people do the show. They've never been in public. Mm-hmm. Then they do the show, and then they get, you know, a lot of vitriol and hate from people if they're looking for it. And people are crazy, you know.
People
but Joel needed the help that badly that he got on the show to tell some horrible lie. I mean, like, I still don't really know the true whole story about that. But there's also backstory to Joel that you guys don't know that they didn't talk about because it was too heavy. Mm-hmm. And because I know that about Joel, I could feel it when I first met him. I knew that he needed a lot more help than he needed anger, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel. I mean, I was mad at him when he was lying to me, and we had a call on the we had a call that obviously wasn't aired where the backstory before we sat and met with Chloe and Chloe and I had the scene where we were talking about Joel and when she fired him. He had called me and told me the couple days before that he had been talking to production and he didn't feel good after that and he wanted to drink. Mm-hmm. And so, because, you know, these people are not drinking during the show.
Right.
And I said, okay, well, what's going on? Why do you want to drink? And then he proceeded to tell me that, you know, he was like, I just didn't like the way that they were acting towards me when I was doing my one-on-one.
Yeah.
And that's when I told him that, well, let me just be really honest with you and give you the feedback why. And I said, it's because when you're talking to me or you're on camera, I'm sorry, when you talk to me in person, you're adorable and normal. When you're on camera, all of a sudden, you get this weird, creepy personality. And I said, and it's not you. And I said, and it's really off-putting. And the other thing is, I'm like, you're not an actor.
Mm.
So, and it's not good acting. And I said, so that's what is so off-putting. Yeah. So, you know, he...
This is crazy.
Yeah. And so he admitted to me, and I said to him, what are you lying about, Joel? What are you lying about? Because there is something that you're still lying to me about. And then on the phone, he started telling me what he... about the guy that he was not in the truthful relationship with, and I then started unloading everything else that he had been lying about his whole life, which is great because that's what we need to do is let you know you're as sick as your secrets, you know.
Yeah.
And so after that, I just said to him, "Look, you need to write production and Chloe, and you need to come clean and tell them that you've been lying, also, and they need to have the option to either fire you or not. But if you don't do it, I will do it because you've been lying. You need to be honest with them." And so he did, and he wrote them a letter. I read it first, and I thought it was so great of him and honest and brave. And, you know, throughout the whole thing, like, even though Joel got fired, Joel has still, you know, I've said to him, I want you to maintain not being a jerk. You know, I know it's hard to want to go back to the personality of being, like, sassy and doing that, but, you know, I just said, you know, you're representing your new self now.
Yeah.
And I think you could be more inspiring to people. And he's been much better, you know, and he's still keeping his weight off and he's still training all the time. And like his mom, he came out to his mom and you know, his family.
So
and
he
like,
wasn't lying about that part because he said, oh, and then Chloe's like, okay, your mom knows that you're gay.
No, his mom, I mean, he never told his mother that he was gay. Okay. And it was something that was killing him. And so he finally came out to his mom and he told her too that he was gay. I don't know if his mom was like, tell me something I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if she knew or not, yeah. But he came out to her and just, you know, it's just about living his life more cleanly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, sometimes I feel like production sets certain things up mm-hmm. to create drama storylines. Mm-hmm. They bring some of these people in knowing mm-hmm. that maybe they're going to fail or mm-hmm. it's going to be a drama show. Do you think that production had an idea of he was lying before they put him on screen?
Well, I mean, you know, I think they give me the more difficult people on purpose, you know. I think they do, or difficult situations. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping that I could turn it around with Joel mm-hmm. because I don't want to give. I know I don't like to give up on anybody. Unless there's a real reason to. Mm-hmm. But with him. You know, I understand people were resentful because they were like, you know, I could have done the show and I wasn't mm-hmm. being dishonest about whatever. But it's like everybody has like their journey. And again, we all don't really know everything about these people of what they're going through on these shows. I mean, it's Revenge Body on E. It's not Intervention. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not going to go down a dark hole of really, you know, other people's real stuff going right. on. But, you know, I think that's important to remember that, you know, we all have our stuff, you know, yeah, and, like, absolutely. The show's entertaining, but also, like, everybody really does have their stuff they're working on, you
yeah.
know?
Because yeah. I think the biggest thing for me is I was surprised at how gracious you were with him and how you still keep in contact with him. A lot of people online were saying that they feel like he kind of hijacked your episode because you only get 2 episodes a season. Like,
well, some people get one.
Yeah.
Like, the production decides if you're going to get 1 or 2, and mm-hmm. I actually don't know how they decide who gets 1 or who gets 2. And also, you could get a person, and if they do a really, really bad job or they're not giving anything, they will pull the whole episode.
They just won't show it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which... So I was like, let me run on the Pico Boulevard and get run over by a car if that were to happen. I mean, like, after 100 hours of training Jennifer, I would have been like, are you friggin' kidding me?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So they have done that in the past with certain contestants. Like, they get them to lose the weight, and they're like, you know what? Actually, we're not happy with that story, so we're just not going to
I don't know. I don't know if Larissa has... if that has happened yet, but that's always an option. So they always have a backup story too going on,
that's
just in case.
Crazy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. I'd like to...
Because some of these people, you know... Yeah. I'm like, oh, I wish I had the girl who wanted to be in the wheelchair from season 1. The one who said that walking is for poor people.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh.
The princess.
I would love to have seen you
Can I just quickly tell you what I would have done? Just really quickly?
Yeah.
The first thing we would have done for the first week is that she would have had to be in a wheelchair everywhere with a sign on the back that says, only poor people walk.
Was she the Indian girl?
Yes.
Okay.
And that would have been our everywhere we went. Yes. I would have pushed her in the wheelchair and she would have had that sign on the back. And we would have actually probably done the whole series in the wheelchair.
Just to see. Yeah.
Well, terrible. Because, you know, because that's probably the worst thing I've ever heard. The worst thing I've
ever
heard.
It's pretty awful.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful. But I feel like a lot of people did think, do you feel like he wasted your time or do you feel like.
No, I don't feel like I wasted time. No, because I feel like, you know, maybe also part of it too is that, like I said, I understand. I know more about the backstory about what with Joel, mm-hmm. so I have a lot of love for him, and I mm-hmm. want to help him, and I want to see him be like a successful man.
Right.
You know, I felt like he was just too much of a little bitch. He was being a little bitch before to people because it was like a defense mechanism. It wasn't, and you know, he can have a sassy personality, which mm-hmm. is cute. You know. Oh, and the other thing he did is he went back to nursing school.
Oh, okay.
And he is working, I think he does, like, blood draw and stuff like that. So he's, like, you know, he went and got his stuff back together again.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys have a good relationship now, so it's all worth it,
right?
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, because what happened afterwards is obviously not shown on the show. Everyone just saw what they saw.
Right.
But it's inspiring to know that he's gotten better, that he did lose the weight, and that you still have, like, a nice relationship with him. I am friends with some of the cast of season 1 and 2, and they were telling me how... pretty much that he's not invited to premiere parties and events, and they might do like a meet and greet later this year. Yeah, and that he's not invited.
That's not a little like bully.
I want to know your take on that because they're not inviting him to events. They're not including him in the meet and greet. They're kind of like, they've kind of just like blacklisted him. And I just want to know, like, do you think that's fair? Do you understand why they're doing that? Or do you feel like they should give him a shot?
Well, you know, again, like, my relationship with Joel is different. How Joel is with me is different. Mm-hmm. How he, you know, he, mm-hmm. we have a different relationship. And again, like, I mean, I think that's me. I mean, that's mean to me. Like, it makes me feel bad for him. I didn't know they were doing that. But, you know, look, I think the bottom line is the best gift he got from this was a new life. Mm-hmm. Who, yeah. You know, so you're not doing a friggin' meet and greet. You know what I mean? Who cares? You know, I mean, seriously, like, you lost 53 pounds. You have a different life.
Yeah.
You have a new attitude, hopefully, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, some people don't get everything, you know, and, you know, I mean, lucky yeah. you that you got me.
Yeah. Okay.
There was your gift. You got that. You didn't get a meet and greet, but you got me.
That's a good gift in itself, yeah. On like a lighter note, though, I did yeah. see something on your Instagram. You were teaching like a WAF mini class.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So the WAF minis are, and actually Joel, Jennifer, Larissa, our executive producer, I've been working with her, and she's mm-hmm. been, she's back issues, so she's been working on them. They're great. So WAF, their WAF minis are like little blown up. Almost like they look like balance pads, yeah. but they have like a column in the center. And actually, they became really popular recently because LeBron James was seen with his coach, Mike, and they were on the NBA floor warming up with them as well. That became, yes.
Yeah.
So I've been teaching WAFs and using them for probably like the last 3 years.
Oh, wow.
But we are going to be rolling them out as a continued education course also. And we're going to be doing a WAF pop-up studio happening in Los Angeles soon. So everybody can come in and take the class.
Okay, I really want to be there.
I'm 100% will invite you to be
that
there.
That would be incredible.
And I will have all that info on Instagram and also on ashleyborden.com. But they are...
What's the purpose of them?
WAF balance pads, like, for instance, like, if let's say for most of my clients, I put them on there to teach them how to squat. So if you stand on them mm-hmm. and you do like 10 slow squats, mm-hmm. because of the movement that's happening with your feet and your balance that you have to find on them, it makes you sit back in your hips and reach forward at the same time. Otherwise, you'll fall off of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that immediately corrects your squat pattern. And because your feet are so active standing on them to keep your balance, mm-hmm. when you step off of them and you step on the floor, your feet and your whole body are like completely alive and active because they've been on the WAFs. And then when they're on the floor, your nervous system is like mm-hmm. completely turned on. And you are like... You're like glued to the floor. It's incredible.
Wow.
And so even like lying on it on your back or being on your doing push-ups on it, every single move that you do on it is intensified because of the stability aspect of it, and your nervous system kicks up which also raises your metabolic rate.
Hmm.
It's also an excellent for proprioception, which is your body in space. So like when you close your eyes and you have to find balance, right? It's mm-hmm. how you move within space. And so this is really helpful for your balance, for your core, for proprioception, and especially for all ages. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
how old are you guys? Like 15. Yeah. So like, you know, for like, no. I'm just
no.
kidding. But, you know, for young, it can be anywhere. I have a 7-year-old boy that I had working on them that I corrected his squat pattern immediately. And he's a basketball player. He's adorable. So it's for all levels.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And they're great.
I'm sorry. I think I saw on your Instagram you're relaxing in one.
Yes. Yeah. So the big, gigantic WAF, the WAF Max,
uh-huh.
is, it looks like a huge donut,
That
I'm lying in. And nobody really understands what this feels like until you lie in them, because it just looks like I'm just chilling on a donut.
Yeah.
Or like one of those pool wraps.
Yeah, like a pool wrap.
Yeah.
But because what you don't see is that it moves slightly. So when you lie on it and that little center allows your back to completely decompress, your body feels weightless when you're lying on it and your eyes are closed. So I'm not kidding. I'm asleep in like 2 minutes.
That's crazy.
And so all of my clients, I do a lot of decompression on it. Post-workout stuff. You can also do full, I don't know if you saw, I do yoga on them.
Wow.
So there's a so much variety that you can do with it. But they are really, really incredible tools. I'm not really big on having people spend a lot of money and waste it on products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I said before, like my big thing is like to try to really guide people to the right stuff, to not waste your time and money on things that are, you know, just like a gimmick.
Right.
And
speaking of which,
promote something if it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of waist trainers? Those have been so
gimmick.
Yep.
Gimmick. Well, if you want to crush your ribs and disrupt your digestion, then I think they're great.
Oh my gosh.
But they are,
That's good to know.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of controversy has come up because of issues like that and people hurting themselves.
Like, what? I mean, back in the day, back in the, when was it, Elizabethan times, when they would wear corsets, yeah, right? And they would do corset training. What that's doing is crushing your bones, and it's slowly making your bones go in, right? Corset training, to me, is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you want to work on your core. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you're trying to strengthen your core, so do plank. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, do some core work around that and work on your, you know, your waist and work on your obliques and train your core full, you know, fully, not just in the front. Like, the waist trainers make no sense to me. And
it's deforming, you know?
Yeah, it's deforming, but, like, what are, you know, what you got, like, what are you doing?
It's just quick fixes for nothing.
It is.
But does it really fix anything? That's
no.
The thing.
No. I mean, you could wear it underneath an outfit, maybe, and you're, like, look like you have a rib removed, but, like, you know, I just doesn't, no, I don't get that. The waist trainers are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sorry, all you waist trainer people that are going to be vicious towards me, but sorry.
I get it. Yeah, definitely. I definitely, stupid. Before we go, I definitely want to talk about Rocco for
go.
A
I thought we were going to go for another 4 hours. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So, obviously, his father is his main motivation.
Good. Yes. It's such a good episode.
And seeing them go back and forth and seeing that the dad was able to kind of come out and, like, be with his son, that really made, like, a 180 turn for him where he was able to just kind of like get up and actually start losing weight and feel excited to lose weight because he wanted to do it for his father. I love
that. To be an example.
Yeah. And the meeting with him and Chloe, he was so nervous. He thought she was going to kick him off
the show. Yes, and he had the flowers. Yeah. I'm like such a good charmer.
Yeah, they definitely made it sound like he was going to fail. Like in the commercials for this week, you thought it was going to be kind of another failure story.
How tricky of production.
Wow. Good
you guys. So oh, it was so good. I thought he did great.
He did. He looked amazing afterwards. Yeah. He really did. But Luke was upset, and we talked about it earlier. Luke doesn't usually get upset.
No, I was scared. When I saw Luke not happy, I was like, and the veins coming out of the neck? Oh. No, wait, but then the veins were coming out of my neck, too. Right? I was like, we're very neck veiny. But
no, because he's like one of the most happy people in the entire world, so seeing him very serious, and then in the promo seeing that you were very serious, you're like, what the, you know? I was like, this is going to be such a crazy episode, and it really was. I feel like you both got to difficult people this episode, but
challenging.
It was so great to see them really finally give into this, and it is a mind, body, soul transition.
It really is. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. You have to approach it from all aspects, or, you know, like I said, I could just lock you in a closet, not feed you for a while, and bring you out, and that's not going to change anything for, you know, long term.
And I love that the dad was able to lose some weight as well. And I think my favorite scene, though, was whenever he was being waxed.
Yes!
When he was being
waxed. Wait, you guys, it was funny. When they showed the scene of him picking a shirt up and we saw the hairy chest, we did all scream.
We were like,
it was too much. It was like a bear. It was a bear. Keep up with the waxing, Rocco.
Yeah, it was a good wax. It was a good wax.
Wax.
It was a good wax.
That was so
and
funny.
And I don't know if I mentioned before, also with Jen's training, a lot of people were asking, like, what she did. Mm-hmm. And we just launched tonight on my, it's called my AB Fit app, and it is my app program that just came out, and it is Jennifer's exact program that she did on Revenge Body for 12 weeks. It is her training program that she did in the gym. Mm-hmm. And so the app is super, super user-friendly, very interactive. And it also, what we also included in it was the entire SOS food plan that Jennifer followed as well. So that's complimentary, and it comes with it.
Nice.
So is it like a subscription
So the app itself will have a subscription. This is a one-off program. So when you purchase this, you're purchasing the app, the use of the app, but you're also purchasing that whole program. And then we're going to be actually rolling out other programs as well that you'll be able to do after you do this one.
Wow.
There's going to be a lot of other options that are going to be on there. But you can download the app and get that through my website. You don't get it directly through, you do not get it directly through the App Store. You get it through AshleyBourne.com.
Okay.
And then it will take you through the whole shebang of how to get it. But this is for an in-gym program. Hmm. And I would say that the program is not for everybody.
Okay.
So if you are a very, very, very newbie to the gym, this program is not for you.
Oh, okay.
The program, I would say, for somebody who has a little bit of gym experience, a little bit, and then from there, I teach you everything. There's videos in it with every single move, explanations of how to do it, the food program, everything, so you're completely set up.
Wow.
And you can have your own revenge body
Yes. That's incredible. I love that. I think that's so cool that you've provided something like that for people. So the viewers not only are inspired by the episode, but they can do it themselves if
they want. And if they don't want to do an in-gym program, I also have two streaming programs that are in-home. So
that's
one is
awesome.
Called 6 Weeks to Sculpted, which is an award-winning program.
Ooh.
That was number one from Fitness Magazine.
Nice.
There you go.
And then the Body Foundation, which is a 21-day program, no equipment, and that's also in-home. Those are both streaming, and you can also find those on ashleyborden.com.
Website.
Yep, and you can get all of them there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you have a book as well.
And I have a book called Your Perfect Fit. But the book is called Your Perfect Fit, and what I did was I was so obsessed with the food plan part of it, the SOS food plan, that I rewrote all of that into a much bigger kind of pushed out section. So that's the SOS food plan is also available on my website as well if you want to just get that on its own and you don't want to get the training program. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do offer that as a complement to the app and some of the streaming stuff. So, yes.
Okay, speaking of food, for someone that loves to eat, what's your cheat meal? What food do you love?
I mean, easy. Let's see. I love ice cream. I love Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yes.
But you know what? My cheat food will still be, like, whole food. Do you know what I mean? Like real food. I'd rather do ice cream than do, like, a huge thing of, like, weird fake yogurt or like, frozen yogurt. Yeah. I think eating whole food is better. Do you know what I mean? Or, like, a hamburger.
Yeah.
Or as opposed to doing some weird, like, I don't eat food that has partially hydrated oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, like, or chips. Like, I like kettle chips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, kettle chips.
A little crunch, a little sugar, salt, fat.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't really look at things as like a cheat or on or off, because as a recovering person, like you know, if I want it, I'll have it. I do everything like in moderation.
I was just going to say that.
Moderation. Yeah. But, you know, I train, the strength training is a huge part, like heavier strength training for women is an enormous part of how you keep your body lean and you continue to release human growth hormone and testosterone. So, as women, I mean, and men too, but you have more, you have it easier than we do. But when you train and you're not training heavy enough, this is what I find with a lot of younger girls. They get into the, what I call like chasing the dragon, where they're doing like a lot of like bar method classes and they're doing like, you know, 7 a week and then they're eating like 500 calories and they're like, why is my body not changing?
Yeah.
And why do I still feel flabby?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because you're under eating, you're overtraining, but you're not doing the right type of training to get the human growth hormone release or the EPOC effect, which is a post-calorie burn effect that you get from, like, HIIT training or heavier strength training. So just in general, right, like, let's say you were to do 10 squats and you were breathless afterwards, right? That's a general indicator that your body is going to release human growth hormone because you're getting to that level of breathlessness with your training. You're not going to be breathless doing 10 tricep kickbacks,
right?
So working bigger body parts like chest and back and legs and doing those type of workouts, that is what releases growth human growth hormone, which attacks core belly fat. You know, Jennifer lost 37.5 inches off her entire body.
Wow.
I mean, that is a lot of inches, and most of it was in her gut, which is the hardest to attack, right? So a big part of that is the human growth hormone release, the hormone release that we get from heavier strength training.
Mm-hmm.
So as women, like, we need, so, you know, when you get into your 30s, you start to feel like, things aren't the same way they were in my 20s.
Yeah.
And then when you get in your 40s, you're like, oh, this is interesting. Things are even more different than they were before.
Yeah.
But I found for myself, like, I got into the best shape of my life starting at 40 years old. Because
that's
I started
awesome.
Heavier strength training and doing jiu-jitsu and also not training about my aesthetics. Like, I don't have a mirror where I train, and I don't train at all for aesthetics. I train for function and strength.
Wow.
So when you train that way, it's like the secondary aspect is that your body's like, oh, it looks good. Oh, it's time to wrap. I am a talker. I'm sorry.
No, I love that. No, I think that's a great way to end. I feel like a lot of people do it for like the aesthetically pleasing thing instead of doing what you should actually do. So I love that. But thank you again so much for joining us. It's been so much pleasure.
Yeah.
And where can everyone find you again on social media?
You could find me on Instagram, Ashley Borden Fitness, and on Twitter, Ashley Borden. And all my information is on my website, ashleyborden.com.
Yay.
I'm here for you.
Go get the app, guys. Go get the
app. Yes, get the app.
Thank you guys for watching. You can find me on Instagram at Shanti_Christina.
Yes, thank y'all for tuning in. I'm Rachel Robillard, and y'all can find me at Rach_Robillard.
All right, and I'm Mr. Dakota T. Jones. You can find me on all social media platforms at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. Check out our next episode, which we're going to be doing right after this. We're going to do Keeping Up the Kardashians recap. And next week's Revenge Body recap is going to be with special guest fitness trainer Latrell Mitchell.
Ooh, I love Lala.
Yes. I love her. So she's awesome.
Make sure you tune in for that. In the meantime, we will talk to you later.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.